I've been singing about my Lord for many years. I've sung when I've been happy. I've sung when I've had tears. Some folks have even questioned if it's all been just a show. But the reason that I'm singing, I want the world to know. I sing because there is an empty grave. I sing because there's still the power that saves. I sing because His grace is real to me. I sing because I know I'm not alone. I sing because one day I'm going home where I shall sing for all eternity. I have sung to those who are walking through the fiery trials. I've watched as saddened faces turn into happy smiles. Then I bow my head and whisper, Lord, please do the same for me. And I'm glad that I can tell you He's given victory. I sing because there is an empty grave. I sing because there's still the power that saves. I sing because His grace is real to me. I sing because I know I'm not alone. I sing because one day I'm going home where I shall sing for all eternity. Well, I sing because I know I'm not alone. I sing because one day I'm going home where I shall sing for all eternity.
Open your Bibles tonight to two passages of Scripture. First of all, to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And then over into Matthew chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and Matthew chapter 7. Tonight I am continuing the series on how to successfully destroy your home or your marriage. I notice there's some people here that I hoped would be here that are not here. And it's a shame that you have to spend time counseling with people over the very things you're preaching and dealing with from the pulpit. You know, if we'd be at church and hear the messages, 85% of the problems we have to have counsel about in our life and marriage would be dealt with in the preaching. I sure am thankful that you're here tonight. I'm going to preach a four-sermon series on the subject, How to Successfully Destroy Your Home. You know, if you destroy your home, you basically destroy your marriage, your children, your life. I approach it in the negative aspect because it seems to get our attention a little bit quicker. There are those ingredients to destroy your marriage and your home and your children and your life already present in your home, just waiting for an opportunity to go to work. If you found your place in Deuteronomy chapter 6, stand with me if you will please, and we shall begin to read in verse number 5. This is God's instruction to Israel, and it's restated in several different ways in the New Testament. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Now, what's that saying is simply this. You are to keep on your mind and your heart and keep it a subject among your family every day and in every situation, that you are and your family are to love the Lord our God with all our heart and all our soul and with all our mind. Verse number 8. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eye. Have you ever had something here in your line of sight? Every time you tried to look at something, you saw this. Well, there was a garment, a part of the priestly uniform that required them to have something here in the front, and every place they looked, it was in their vision to keep them mindful of their relationship to God. And God says, you keep them right here so that everywhere you look, you'll think about the fact that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind. He said, put them upon your hand. Your hand is used over and over again all through the day, and it passes by you, and it will be a constant reminder to you every day, every hour, that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind. We're to talk about it at home with our wives and our children. It's to be the main subject in our family. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thine house, the doorpost, and the gate, so that when you go out and come in, you'll be aware of the fact that the number one command of God for our lives is to love the Lord our God with all our heart and all our soul and all our might. Now then, turn to Matthew chapter 10, or chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. I read this last week from another gospel, the Gospel of Mark, I believe it was, or Luke, and I want to read it tonight as a foundation for our message from the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus is teaching. Verse 24, he says in Matthew chapter 7, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. You know, you ought to be present in the house of God where you can hear the Word of God taught and preached. And you take those principles that are taught and preached, you hear them and practice them, obey them. God said, if you'll do that, you're a wise man. If you don't do it, you're a fool. He said, you shall be likened unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat upon the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now, though Jesus is using this illustration of building a house, he's saying if you will hear his sayings, his teachings, his principles, it will be like a man who builds his house upon that rock. A solid foundation away from the floodplains. And the rains are going to come and the winds are going to blow and the storms are going to occur. In every life, in every family, in every marriage. But if you're built on the rock, and that rock is Jesus, and the principles of His Word, the Bible says that house will stand. But there are those that are so foolish, they think they are different. And they can take the easy way out and the cheap way out, and they'll find out that the easy way and the cheap way is not the easy way or the cheap way. It's very costly, very hurtful. And they build their house upon the sand. If you'll study this passage, it's not just talking about a man building his house on a sandy place, but he's literally has found a place in a dry creek bed or a river bed where it's sandy and there's no trees growing. He don't have to clean it out. And he says, man, this will be a good place for me to build my house. It won't take a lot of effort. But the rains are coming. The winds are going to blow. And the floods are coming and that house is going to fall. Every one of you are building a spiritual house. You're building a family house. You're building a home. You're building a marriage. And this principle is just as true pertaining to your home, to your marriage, to your family, as it is to building a house. And God would have us to be wise. I'm amazed at people that come for counseling and then won't do a thing you say to them, a thing you tell them to do. They think that just coming and hearing the preacher talk is going to solve their problems. That's not going to solve their problems. It's just going to point out the problem and the solution. They've got to obey the principle. If they don't, they're not going to be better off. They're going to be worse off. Because when you know truth and you don't follow truth, you're in rebellion then. I want to talk to you tonight on the subject, how to successfully destroy your home. Father, I need your help tonight. Fill me with thy Holy Spirit and speak through me. I'm not interested in preaching a great sermon, but I do want a message tonight that will help our people, that will strengthen our homes and our marriages. Lord, we've got a great number of young people getting married this summer and this fall and next year. And we've got families today that are newlyweds and some that have been married for years, and Lord, they're struggling through the same old problems over and over again, and there's help and hope for them in the Word of God, but it'll do them no good until they believe it and practice it. Speak to our hearts. And Lord, there are young people here, young men and ladies that are not married, and help them to realize that even though I'm preaching specifically about marriage and the home, and they may not be married at this time, help them to realize the principles are still God's principles, and many of them apply to their life as they're living now. Lord, if they want to do right and have your blessings on their right life, they'll begin to practice truth and principle before they're married. Now, Lord, do your work in our lives, and we'll thank you in advance for what you shall do in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In our last message on this subject, we talked to you about one of the major causes of trouble and failure in the Christian home and marriage. We successfully destroy our home and marriage when family members refuse to accept their God-given place and responsibility. Oh, how we see that over and over when the man is not being the leader and the provider and the man he ought to be, and the woman is taking control and usurping authority over the home and over the marriage. Husbands and fathers will not take their place of leadership in the home, and wives and mothers try to rule over their husband and dominate their families. We talked about that last week. Another major problem in family members being out of place is children that are allowed to rule the home and manipulate the parents. God has a place for the husband, a place for the wife, and a place for the children. And we must make sure we know our place and fill our place so there can be joy and unity and blessing in the home. Now let us understand that the main enemies that destroy our homes and marriages and the enemies that rob us of our children are not just found outside the home. Many times they're allowed to live right inside of the home and inside of the marriage. I believe that God has given us rules and principles to guide us in building happy marriages and strong, loving homes. If you had the privilege of being raised in such a home, you ought to thank God every day for mom and dad and for their faith and dependence upon the Word of God and doing right and building the right kind of home for you to be raised in. If you haven't been raised in that kind of home and you're a Christian, you ought to say, God, I'm going to determine that I'm going to build that kind of home. I'm going to learn the principles. I'm going to learn the rules, the truths that pertain to happy marriages and happy homes. And I'm going to practice them because I want a good, strong marriage and a good, strong home and God's blessings upon us. We have too often neglected to search out God's Word and apply the principles to our marriage and to our homes. And many times, even worse, people that know them reject them and turn away from them. Here's the problem. We fantasize that we're so much in love that we don't need to live by the principles of the Word of God. We're so much in love, we think we're different, and that our love is enough, and it can face any storm and bridge any gale. What fools we are. Love is important in a marriage relationship. But people who were in love when they got married, because they ignored the Word of God, grew apart and fell apart, and their marriage fell apart. Their home was broken to pieces. Their children were raised without a husband and a wife, a mother and a father in the home. Because they thought they were so much in love, they didn't need God. They didn't need the Bible. What fools we are. God intended that His rules and principles be applied to every marriage, to every home, everywhere. No one is excluded. No one is exempt. No one is without need of God's help and God's guidance and God's blessing. When God created man, He put within him a desire and a need to have a place to live, which would be a place of security, refuge, and love. Home should be a wonderful place. And when I'm talking about man here, I'm talking about mankind. Every man, every woman wants a home that's a place of security, a refuge from the world and the storms, and a place of love and caring and tenderness. Home should be a wonderful place. Just to hear the word home ought to cause us to feel warm and loving within. However, too often the memory of home brings to mind a place of tears, fighting, and frustration. It brings to mind a place that is untidy, unkept, and unclean. It brings to mind a place of loneliness, fears, and heartaches. And God never intended for such to be so. We cannot blame the atheist or the secular world for this. We can't blame the enemies of God's Word for this. They're not building my home. I am, and you are. If our home is not right, it's not somebody else's fault, it's our fault, it's my fault. If I'm allowing the wrong things into my home and into my marriage. There's a world of difference between the Christian home God tells us about in the Word and the home of many Christians today. The home of the average Christian today is not a New Testament Christian home operating by Bible principles. It's just a home where Christians live that has not been built on the proper foundation and will crumble when the storms come. Let me tell you this. Both husband and wife must accept the Word of God as God's Word and as the authority for your life. Both husband and wife must make a commitment to live by the teachings of God's Word. If you don't do that, you're going to have trouble trying to build a Christian home. And I say to you again, the storms will come to every marriage and to every home. Every marriage at one time or another, and every home's going to have help and counsel. Bar none. But God has made it possible for problems to be solved and love to grow and homes to be strengthened when we learn to live by this blessed book and not by the books of the secular world. Now tonight, I want you to look with me at another major reason why some Christian homes and marriages are successfully being destroyed by those within the home, the husband and wife. Number one, Christians are successfully destroying their home and marriage by improper relationships and priorities within the family circle. Improper relationships and priorities within the family circle. God has given us instruction concerning our relationship and our priorities within the family unit. Now you better learn this principle, because if you're ever going to amount to anything for God as a preacher or as a Christian man or woman, you must learn to live by priorities. Too much of our life is wasted chasing after insignificant things and leaving the most important things undone. And so it is in the marriage. We give our attention to things that really don't amount to a hill of beans in the full picture, and we ignore those things that are really going to matter and make a difference. God has given instructions concerning our relationship and our priorities within the family unit. When we ignore them and do not practice them, we are out of step with God. And this is true whether you're married or you're single. You ignore the principles and the priorities God has for our life, and you're out of step with God. How can God bless us when we're out of step with Him? When we're out of step with His will and His word? When we're out of step with God, we're in trouble. Big trouble. It's similar to a person trying to walk through quicksand. That person's going to sink. And you are too if you're trying to build your life and your marriage and your home ignoring the principles of the Word of God. You're out of step with God. God designed our life and our marriage and our home to be built by a certain set of rules and standards. That is the designer's design. It's not going to work right if we try to build it according to our want-tos and ignore the design of our Heavenly Father. A person can put water in the gas tank of an automobile, and it doesn't make any difference whether he put the water in ignorantly or in rebellion against the designers of the automobile. The result's the same. It's not going to run. It wasn't designed to run on water. Our marriage and homes are not designed to operate by the world's standard and by the world's principles. God designed the home, and God designed marriage, and God has given us guides and rules and principles. He's given us priorities to practice within our marriage. When we go against the designer's rules, ignorantly or in rebellion, the result is the same. The marriage and the home will fail. What is the proper order for our relationship and priorities within the family circle in our home? It's very simple. My message tonight is going to deal with these priorities that ought to be in our home and our life. Number one, God must be first. Our love for God must be first. Now let me stop right here and say for the young preacher boys in our congregation, if you're not careful, you will make your love for the ministry and your love for preaching first and take the place of your love for God. It's not the same. Your love for preaching, your love for the ministry, your love for the church is not your love for God. God and my personal walk and my personal relationship and my personal commitment to Him must be first, and you'll never find anywhere in the Word of God where God accepts second place in our life. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind. Over and over again, God states it. He says it this way in Luke chapter 10. And he answered and said, Jesus answered and said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind. It's put another way in Colossians chapter 1 verse 18. Talking about Christ, He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. He might have that first place and that first love. Matthew 10 verse 37 says, He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. You see, in another passage he tells us we're to hate our father and mother. Now, he's not commanding us literally to hate them, but he's using that as a comparative statement. Our love for God ought to be so great when we compare our love for our father, our mother, our son, our daughter, our wives to our love for God. The love for God is so much greater, it seems as though it might be hate. God's to be first. Luke 16, 13, no man can serve two masters. For either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You say, well, I want to love God and my wife equally. No, you won't. One's got to be first. God never intended them to be equal in your love relationship. God is to be God, and your wife is not God, and your husband is not God. God, Jehovah God, Christ Jesus, the Savior, is to be first. God must be first in all our relationships and priorities. Let me tell you why that's so important. We'll never have the right kind of love for our spouse, our wife, or our husband, or our children if God is not first in our love relationship. You see, God is love. When our love relationship is with Him is right, then we have more love and the right kind of love with which to love our wife and our children, or our husbands and our children. And if that relationship with God is not right, your relationship with your husband and your wife and your children's not going to be right. If we're wrong here, then the rest of our priorities and relationships will suffer and be wrong also. We'll never be able to win our unsaved loved ones to Christ. We'll never win our spouse, our children, our parents, and so forth if we do not love Christ first and are sincere about it. Being right in your love relationship to God will make you a better husband, a better wife, a better child, a better employee, a better employer, a better Christian, and a better church member. Christ, God, is to be first. God is to be first on our love list and on our priority list. First. May I say to you that no wife or no husband feels bad a bit about playing second fiddle to God. Because they know they have more of a man and more of a woman to love when their love relationship with God is right. But let me give you a hint and a warning here. They're not going to accept your love for your work and your love for your sports and your love for your hobbies to take the place of your first place in your love relationships. They're not going to tolerate it, and ought not. Ought not. God must be first. God must be first. Second only in our relationship and love for God is our relationship and love for our marriage partner. Not our partner in civil union. Massachusetts might recognize that, but God doesn't. Say, what marriage is right? The marriage of a man and woman according to the law of the land is right in the sight of God. And our relationship and love for God is to be second. Our love for our wife and our husband is to be second only to our love relationship with God. Ephesians 5:25 says, husbands, love your wife even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And you cannot love your wives, husbands, like God said love them if God is not first on your love list and your priority list. Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. There's no way in the world you can do that, woman, unless your love relationship with God is right and first. If your love relationship with God is not right and first, then flesh will build up resentment. There'll be problems galore. Colossians 3:18, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. You can't do that unless your relationship with God is right. Titus 2:4, that they may teach the young women, talking about the older women in the church, to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. What I'm simply saying to you is that our relationship to our wife or husband is to be second only to our relationship to God. You're saying, now, preacher, our kids are first in our family, then you're a fool. And you're going to lose your kids and lose your marriage. Let me tell you what's going to happen if your kids are first. Your kids are going to grow up. And they're going to leave home. You've built your life around your kids and they've held you together. And they leave home and you stand there and wave bye at them and you look at each other and say, who are you? You're strangers. You've put kids in the place of God, in the place of your husband and wife relationship. I can't tell you how many people are getting divorced after 17, 18, 19, 20 years of marriage because their kids left home and they don't know each other. They didn't have their priority list right. God is to be first. Husband and wife are to be second only to God. Now, what kind of a love is this a husband or a wife is to have for each other? Well, the answer is the kind that Christ had for the church. Husbands, that is a sacrificial love. An unconditional love. A forgiving love, men and women. You better learn to forgive or you're not going to have a good marriage. Because I guarantee you, Prince Charming has rust on his armor. You take the mask off one of these days, that shining mask, and he's going to have zits. He's going to have faults. And Miss Beautiful, you're going to wake up on the morning after your wedding and see her as she really is in the morning with no makeup. A forgiving love, an unconditional love, a sacrificial love. Listen to me, husband and wife. Before you got married, you fell in love. And though love may be blind, you knew that Mr. Perfect was not perfect and Miss Wonderful was not perfectly wonderful. You overlooked chinks in their armor. You overlooked flaws in their beauty. And you did not ask them or demand that they change before you got married. And now then, after you're married, you say, there's some things about my husband I don't like. And there's some things about my wife I don't like. Hey, they were there before you got married. Honey, he's yours now. Sir, she's yours now. You loved them then, you love them now. You better keep love alive so love will continue to be blind. You married her or him, they're yours. It's a forgiving love, an unconditional love. Now then, love them. And allow your love to be strong enough to make up for their weaknesses and their imperfections. That's the way God loved us. Can I suggest to you that when God loved you and me, we were not Mr. Mature Christian, Mr. Spiritual. We were sinners. But God commended His love toward us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And we're to love our husbands and our wives with that kind of love. Second only to our love for God. Now, listen to me. Right now, I want you to think. I want you to think of five things that you'd like to change about your spouse. Just right now in your mind, think. I realize this is hard. Think about five things. Honey, I want you to think about five things you'd like to change about me. Now, I know that's going to be difficult for you to figure out five. But do the best you can. Five things you'd like to change about your husband or your wife. Don't write them down. That'll get you in big trouble. Five things you'd like to change. Now think about five things you'd like to change about yourself. Now take the five things you thought about your husband or wife and discard them. Forget them. You can't do anything about that. You can't change their life, but you can change you. You can have an effect upon you. You fell in love with them as they are. You can pray for them, but you must allow God to do His work in their heart and bring about the changes He desires in their life. If you don't, you're going to have trouble in your home. Ladies and gentlemen, don't try to do God's work for Him. Pray for them. And allow God to work in their hearts. You be what you ought to be. You can't change her or him. You be what you ought to be. You'd be surprised the impact it'll have on their life. Besides that, me knowing areas of weakness in my wife, and I love her so much, I'm going to make up for those weaknesses. I'm going to cover those weaknesses. I'm going to be her strength in the areas of her weakness. You know what that does? That makes her love me that much more. Makes me feel more like a man instead of a wimp. And by the way, the thing goes around where I'm weak, my wife can fill that gap and it'll make her feel more complete and a part of my life. And oh my soul, I'd be a mess without my wife. So first of all, make sure your relationship with God is right. It's first. It's priority number one. You love Him first. You love Him most. Secondly, your relationship with your wife and or husband is to be second only to your relationship with God. Thirdly, after God and your relationship with wife or husband comes your relationship with your children, your offspring. Don't you put them first. You're going to hurt your family. You'll hurt your marriage. You'll hurt your children. You keep God first. You keep wife or husband second. You bring them up in a home where they see your love for God and your love for each other, and they'll praise you all the days of your life. I get notes from my daughters from time to time saying, "Daddy, you'll never know what it means to us to know of your love for Mom and her love for you and your commitment and devotion to God. It's such a strength and an encouragement for our lives and our families." I can't tell you how many times I've received little notes that on Father's Day or Mother's Day or birthdays. Do it right and you'll rejoice all the days of your life. Do it wrong and your home's going to be a hell on earth, a place of war and heartache. Fourthly, after God and after husband-wife relationship and your relationship with your children comes your career or your job. Job isn't to be first. By the way, if your job demands you to put your job before God and before your family and before your children, you ought to look for another job. You need a job only to provide for your family. But that job will never be a substitute for your wife or your children in days to come. You can get another job. But you don't want to fail with your wife, your marriage, and your children. Jobs should never be up at the top on your priority list. I was flying somewhere preaching a revival. And I was seated by a man. He was at the window. There's a vacant seat between us. I was in the aisle. Well-dressed businessman. And he was writing a note. And the tears were just dripping off his face. And I introduced myself and said, "Sir, I cannot help but notice the sorrow. Is there something I could pray with you about?" He said, "Pastor, I wish somebody had asked me that years ago." He said, I live on the big island in the Hawaiian Islands. Hilo, I believe it is. He said, "I started out working at a radio station on that island." He said, "I've worked my way up that I am the president now over the radio and leading radio and television station on that island. He said, I have a very lucrative job. But in the process, putting that job in the wrong place, I lost my wife and I lost my daughter. And I'm writing her 2 days from now, he said, it's her birthday. And I'm writing her a letter and telling her I love her. And I'm just thinking of all that I've missed and I've given up for a lousy job. You better make sure your job and your career stays in the right place on the priority list. There's no comfort in having a job paying you $200,000 and $300,000 and $400,000 a year if you lose your family and lose your marriage. Doesn't make any difference what kind of an automobile you drive if no one's sitting in that seat next to you that called you husband or you can call wife. Or you've lost your children. The best you can do is write to them. We make so many foolish decisions because we get the priorities out of place in our life. Keep Christ first. Keep your love relationship with Christ first and right. Work at keeping your love relationship with your wife or husband sweet. Work at it. Work at building the right relationship and keeping your children in the right place on the priority list. And let me tell you, we'll find out one day we could have gotten along with a lot less things and money if we'd have just kept our relationship to our job right so we could have still had a wife and children to enjoy what blessings and promotion we might achieve. Fifthly, other family members outside your own immediate family unit. There are five. Listen to me, men and women. When you get married, you start a new family. Your relationship with mama and daddy from that day forth is different. They are no longer way up here above everything else on the priority list. Your husband-wife relationship is greater than that, and your relationship to God must still be number one. Your other family members, mother and father and cousins and brothers and sisters, must be way down the list. Because you've got a family now. You've got to have a right relationship with God. You've got to maintain a right relationship with husband and wife. You've got to love your children in the right place, in the right way. And you've got to work to provide for your family, because if you don't provide for your own, you're worse than an infidel. But you've got to keep the job in the right place and the right perspective. Your career is not to be promoted to take God's place, or wife's place, or husband's place, or children's place. It's no accident that God said, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." Did you notice that statement? It didn't say they'll just get married and move back in with mom and dad. God forbid. I told my girls when they got married that they're welcome to come see us. But don't you get mad at your husband and bring your suitcase to my front door, because I'm sending you back. Work it out. Work it out. Deal with it. If you can't work it out, it can't be resolved, and he won't resolve it, We won't cast them away. But we're not going to allow our relationship to our daughters to supersede her relationship with her husband. Well, I've got to get down to the last place and finish this up. In the last place in our priority list and relationships is our involvement with pleasure and friends. Last place. God's not against friends and pleasure. He just wants you to keep it in the right place. Beware of neglecting God and neglecting your spouse and your children or your job for selfish pleasure or for your friends. You know, there's teenagers have trouble here because when they make a friend, they put that relationship with their friend before anything else. And that's up to mom and dad to keep that in right perspective. You're hurting your children if you let them put their relationship with their friends before God or before their relationship with you. It's in last place. Now, I love sports. I really do. I can't think of any sport that I don't like unless it's... Well, I'm not real crazy about tennis. I've never gotten into watching people play a game in their underwear. Now, I'm not against tennis, but it's not my. But I love sports. If I see two ants walking side by side, I'm going to root one for one of them to win. I love competition. I love sports. And if we're not careful with our depraved nature, we'll allow that to consume us. And suddenly, the Dallas Cowboys or some other sporting team will be elevated to the first place and take the place of God or take the place of your love relationship for your wife or husband or your children. Or you'll call in sick to go watch a ball game. People do it all the time. Liar, liar, pants on fire. The last place. God's not against pleasure. He's not against friends. But they're not way up here on the priority list with God. If you'll work at keeping your relationship right with God, right with your husband or wife, keep your children and your love relationship with them in the right place, and your job in the right place, and your pleasure and friends in the right place, you'll enjoy a blessing that you've never known before, because all of a sudden, God will look down and say, "You know, son, lady, you're doing it my way. You're doing it the Bible way. And I'm going to bless you." And you know what happens when you do things God's way? Your love for one another strengthens. Your home grows stronger. There's not World War III going on. There's joy and peace and love. I wish we could just learn that God's way is the right way. It's the best way. It's the lasting way. Something's bad wrong today in America when 6 out of 10 marriages are ending in divorce. As many Christians as unsaved people. Something's bad wrong in America when husbands and wives are fighting and feuding and fussing and our children are going astray and rebelling and running away. Something's wrong in our priorities and our relationships within the family. While you've got opportunity to correct them. If you're just starting out, do it right. Do it right. Don't waver from it. God wants to bless you. We have just one chance at a good, strong marriage and a good, strong home. work hard at doing it God's way the first time. For God's way is the right way. And it's the way of blessing. It's the way when the storms do come, and they will, the house will stand, the home will stand, the marriage will stand, the family will stand. Father, take the simple message tonight and help us. Help us to take it to heart. Help us not to cheat on you and our relationships with one another, with our husbands and wives and our children. Help us to check our own life and our priority list, and let's make sure that you are first. God, I can counsel and I can preach, but I cannot make people obey you. I pray that, Holy Spirit of God, you would work in the hearts and lives of our people. And there would be that hunger and that desire to love you first and love you most. To build a relationship secondly and with our husband and our wife as it ought to be biblically. To keep our children in the right place and our job and our other family and pleasure and friends in the right place, on the bottom of the list. We have such a narrow window to build that marriage right. We have such a narrow window to raise our children properly. Oh God, would you speak to our hearts tonight? And at this invitation time, would men and women check their priority list. Would boys and girls check their priority list and make sure their relationships and their priorities are biblical and right and in the proper place. And get them right tonight for Christ's sake. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet as we begin to sing an invitation song. If God moved, if God spoke in your heart, come and use the invitation as your opportunity to kneel at an old-fashioned altar. Come on tonight. Come on tonight. What I preach tonight is not new, you know it. Some of you have ignored it. You need to put it back in the right order, in the right place. You that are just starting out in your marriage life, married life, do it right from the beginning. Keep it right. Enjoy the blessings of God. Enjoy love growing deeper and deeper in your home and in your relationship because your priorities are right. Otherwise, you are successfully destroying your home.